Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Good morning from Maui. I know it's afternoon there.
Good. What part are you on?
We're in Kihei. We're at the Kihei Starbucks right now on South Kihei Road. I got to give a little props there. Hanging out on the patio here in the front, and it's actually cool this morning. It's been windy and cool the last couple of days, so a cooling trend on Maui.
Those trade winds are wonderful, though. They're really nice.
Oh, they blow out the bog and all of that.
It's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. I love the trade winds.
A lot going on today. Of course, we're going to be talking about the goal with coming to Starbucks today was to, maybe find some folks that might have a question or comment about a real estate. And we're going to be doing this from time to time, getting out. I love, 36 years in radio, and I love live remote broadcasts, and have done thousands of them. And you just kind of like the old Forrest Gump movie. You never know what you're going to get when you're live somewhere. And so we'll hopefully have a few questions here in a few minutes and be talking about, again, this market, real estate. In fact, I just talked to some guys from Canada. I asked them if they wanted to share a little bit, maybe a question or a comment.
Good.
They said, well, they asked, is it local? I said, no, it's national. They said, well, we're not even national. And I said, what? And they're from Canada. So we may get a little Canadian perspective.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love that. Love it. We'd be wonderful.
The real estate market, because I know Realty Universal. About, of course, universal all around the world, right?
A lot of people from Canada buy in Hawaii. Very, very, it's a great. They have nonstop flights now going from Vancouver to Kona. And
really?
Many people buy all over in Hawaii from Canada.
Wow.
I think they're, our dollars are much lower, too, right now. It's a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, really good deal.
Hey, I did have a question from Mindy. Didn't want to go on the air, but she this is the term she used. She said, we're in a house. I love this saying. We kind of forget the cheese. We just want out of the mousetrap. She's saying that they're under, not so bad, but enough that it's, it's not feeling good, and they hear other friends just walking away, and other people, of course, the mother-in-law is saying that, you need to hang on to it. It's a long-term investment. And, again, I know we always say this about this show. It's, you need to know so much more about a particular real estate situation. But could you give us some kind of generalities along those lines for somebody who is wanting to get out of their house? They're underwater a bit with it, not too bad.
I think there definitely are some questions. So if Mindy's standing right there, there would be a few questions to ask. And you can please feel free to give her, I don't know if she's actually, if her house is on Maui or in Hawaii here or, there, or if she's in another state. So if you want to give her our toll-free number, the 866-808-6368, or Maui number, 661-4466, either or, she can definitely, and she can also go to our website, and we'd be happy to do a quick consult with her asking specific questions, because you really do need to have specifics, because if somebody's really underwater, they can do a short sale. I would definitely recommend a short sale versus a foreclosure, But sometimes when somebody's underwater, maybe it depends how much underwater you are. Is it going to recover? Is it going to come back? What are your long-term goals, short-term goals? How much money are you dumping out every month in excess of what you should be spending for the same property? You know, could you get this or even go into a rental and save quite a lot more money even after you get your write-offs with owning? So, yeah, there's definitely more particulars. But if it's causing a lot of undue stress and you know you definitely want to get out of it, you know, definitely email or give us a call so we can assist you and also place you with the right people. You know, because, yeah, because I think everything is, because, but I, if Mindy did want to go ahead on the air, and she doesn't have to, or if she wanted to ask questions now too, you know, the questions, those with the questions that we can give better answers, right? Because it's an individual
Absolutely.
Thing. You really, and you don't want to, as much as we love mother-in-laws and we love family, unless they're going to come up and they're just going to say, here, we're going to pay the bills for a while. I think, no, I mean, I don't mean that to sound bad, but I think we need to do what's best for us, right? Mindy needs to do what's best for her. And there are many ways out of it, but it's important to do a consult because sometimes something else can be structured that they don't have to get out of it or, you know, so there's many ways to do it. And then, of course, you have the rest of their financial picture plays into a couple other suggestions that may be made, right, based on that. Whether they should go further than just a short sale. You know, some people, but a lot of people are walking away and a lot of people are saying they've had enough and, you know, and so, but yeah, definitely would love to be able to ask a couple more questions.
I have a question on that, just that sparked another question. And then I've got a guy here who will want to go on the air with us in a minute. Absolutely know. Sit down here, young man. All right, we have a young man here. Good-looking young man. I do have a question for you, Natalie, before we get to our first guest. We're doing a live radio show right now on real estate, on giving back. It's kind of a – and so if you're thinking about a real estate question or comment or a, kind of a general giving back live comment, and I know you're a business guru, so you could even speak to that. Natalie, before we get to our guest here, I want to ask you, you mentioned something that sparked a question for me is, I hear it a lot from people who are very got a lot of integrity, but because they're so upside down in their homes, a lot of people are just walking away. I mean, just saying, you know. And even from the stewardship, they're saying, you know, I know you're supposed to pay your bills, but also there's a stewardship factor, and my money is going into a pocket with a hole in it, and you know.
No, exactly, and I think depending on the situation, again, because you don't want everybody shouldn't just walk away if it's not good for them, but if they know it is and they've exhausted their researches and they've gotten the advice and everything, they need to know that, hey, good things happen, you know, bad things happen to good people. This isn't something horrible. This is something, you know, it's more important to keep your family and your life intact and your health rather than just worry about the four walls, right? We've talked about that so much when we talk about home is where the heart is, right? So, and I think, you know, there used to be stigmas. I mean, gosh, you know, like bankruptcies and foreclosures. Well, bankruptcies, I mean, go back how many years? Way, way before we were born, hundreds of years. You know, people could go to jail for not paying debt, right? You know, and we're talking hundreds of years and things like that. The stigma is not there now. And now because so many people are underwater everywhere and it's like the talk of the day, I think people are much more comfortable to say, yes, I'm doing a short sale. I'm in a bankruptcy. I'm, you know, where years ago these topics would have been more taboo. So when you get when people, I think you see more people starting to feel more comfortable because it's a sign of the times and they don't feel so taboo about doing it, you know. But, yeah, you really need to take care of yourself. And financial people are going to go up and down and things like that, but it's much more important to not have the stress, you know, and put yourself in a good position. If that's the best thing for you to do,
Yeah, I know it's a different world out there these days. I've got with us. What's your name, young man?
Zoran Vidanovich.
Zoran, pronounce last name.
Vidanovich.
I love
Vidanovich.
It.
Vidanovich, and you're from Canada?
No. Yeah, there are a lot of Canadians.
Oh, okay.
Totally Canada. In fact, that kind of brings me to the beginning of it all because my father had two friends. They were brothers, and they were all scheming how to get out of the old Yugoslavia, communist Yugoslavia.
Wow.
And the goal was to, you know, sail across the Adriatic.
Yes.
And when the time came to do it, my dad chickened out. And the other two gentlemen took off, and they made it, and they ended up in Toronto.
Oh.
Oh, that's a funny story.
You know, I could have grown up in Canada. If it hadn't been for the fluke. But
and when did your dad leave? When did your dad finally leave?
That was 55.
Mm.
1955. It was right after the Hungarian Revolt.
Wow.
But the idea was, you know, gosh, he laid groundwork for 7-8 years. We spent summers on an Adriatic island near Dubrovnik.
Wow, that's
and,
fantastic.
You know, when we came to Maui, it was like going home. I mean, I just can't believe how similar Maui is to the island I was living on as a kid. Yeah. And it just, that was it. You know, I knew I had really found home, you know, short of going back.
That's fantastic. How long have you been in Maui?
Oh, about, formally about 12 years now. Informally since 78.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of hard. You start something like a family and a business, and it kind of grows around you and traps you, and it's hard to pick up your rocks and go somewhere.
Exactly.
Love it.
But a lot of people in Hawaii that have done that informally and then formally and back and forth and everything else. That's a pretty it works well.
Very true. You know, in those days, I'm talking about 10 years ago, before all this heavy stuff, you could fly back and forth for $50.
From where? From where?
From Maui to Los Angeles.
Wow, yeah.
I used to fly twice a week. I mean, I'm telling you, I had more jet lag than I had anything else.
Yeah,
it was
I know.
We had the
ATA had that air pass. I bought the air pass like in 2004 and 2005. And
awesome.
Remember that?
Yes, it was amazing. I mean,
yeah.
God. I think 2003 or 4 or 5 was like the last time that happened.
Yeah, I think they stopped around 5 or 6, yeah.
Well, actually, yeah, ATA, when they went out of business.
Right.
That's the end of the good deals.
That was fun. That was fun. They went from, Hawaii to L.A. and also San Francisco. What a good deal.
You.
Yeah.
A lot of locations. You can go to San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles. And, in fact, my first flight out here, formal flight, was where I think after spending 3 months in Maui, my daughter was, I think, 17. When we came to Maui for a couple of weeks, as it was our custom, and this is the first time she woke up to the idea,
Wow.
Like, and so I had to promise her next summer that we would come for 3 months. And that is what did me in. I mean, when I spent 3 months on the island, I was decompressing. I'm telling you, I lasted through Thanksgiving Day. The day after Thanksgiving, I packed my bag, and I told my family goodbye. I drove to the airport, and you could, at that time, at ATA, give them $135 cash.
Right. Oh, wow.
And you could just climb on the plane, and that was it. You know, it was like standby. And that was it. You know, I never looked back.
And they came with you?
No, they took them. You know, my daughter came... I think at Christmas, I made her pack all her bags, pack all her stuff in her room. She came to Christmas to visit, and the day before says, "Dad, you know, I think I'm going to come and stay." And she's been here. She's living in on Oahu on the North Shore.
That's beautiful too.
Loving it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, my wife, Holly, she was the laggard. She's always been the laggard.
So she finally came over, huh? She finally gave in. Does she still love it?
But she spends too much time on the island still.
Wow.
Anyway, enough of me.
Well, that happens. That happens, you know, because you kind of get a little bit of best of both worlds, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do that. What do you think of the real estate right now?
The real estate is really a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
As I see,
I agree.
It. I've never seen, as it's true everywhere, I guess, but, you know, even here, prices have kind of, you know, come down, and the opportunities abound.
They've come down a lot on Maui, haven't they? I mean, a lot, really. When you look at the last, we've had properties all different places in Lahaina, you know, Kanapali, Hillside, those many areas had gone down as much as 50% and more. You know, and that's a great price, great deal.
Reminds me of 93 or so, 94.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the last time I said to myself, boy, this is the time to buy, you know, never going to be like this again. Well, it's been better, I guess, but yeah, no, this is a great time.
It is wonderful.
Too unfortunate that, as you were saying, too many people are all tied up. You know, it's
it's funny. A lot of people are tied up, but then there's sometimes other ways because a lot of people are tied up and because the sellers are tied up, sometimes they're able to cut other deals as well, you know? So it's definitely worth exploring the options if people are tied up, you know.
Well, not
to assume that they can't do anything. That's what I think a lot of people assume.
If you don't have a credit problem, the opportunities are amazing in terms of what can be done. And I think this is a great opportunity. And actually, Canadians are incredibly wise.
The dollar is so low, and it's such good a deal for them, you know? It really is.
Oh, absolutely, and they are a big boon here. I mean, I think of all of the buyers. Every time I talk to a real estate agent, that's what they tell me, you know, the Canadians keep them going.
Oh, absolutely. We see a lot on Maui, and a lot of Canadians come to Maui and Big Island more than Oahu, you know, overall. But, yes,
oh,
what,
yeah.
Sir?
Oahu, yeah, has a little saturation going.
Hey, Natalie.
Yes.
Zoran is a business consultant, and we've got another guest on here in just a couple of moments, and I would like him to kind of give just a little bit of overview, another maybe a couple of minutes, if you could, of what he does as a business consulting.
Great.
Oh, thank you. What a nice opportunity. I was just talking with a friend this morning about that. He says, you've been secretive for a year. And I said, well, I'm going through a transition. You know, and I finally figured out, you know, where my strengths lie and why I've been so popular in certain circles. Namely, I'm very good at working on business, and I love small business. And I find that people get into business because they're good at either getting it in or getting it out. But
not good at the other part.
They don't know how to, and even if they get accounting help, you know, they still don't know how to sit on the business stool.
Yeah.
And that's key to what I do. I teach them how to become business people. I teach them how to sit on the business stool and then to continue to do what they were good at to start with by, you know, being one of the legs as well.
So you teach them how to delegate, and so you're teaching them how to work on the business instead of in the business is what you're saying, kind of
teaching them
how to delegate. That's fantastic. Are you doing it strictly on Maui or all over? Are you doing coaching, consulting over the phone, wherever?
As you would have it, I have been visiting Denver. I have a couple of clients there, and I have been always effective in Orange County.
Really? L.A.? Orange County? L.A.? Wow.
LA.
O.C., baby.
O.C., baby is right. But, you know, for a long time, I could not discern the difference between the in and on. And it really is a major, for me, that's a big filter. You know, you walk up to me now and you say, oh, man, we can make all kinds of money and we got to do it. The first thing I want to know, is it an in job or is it an on job? You know?
Exactly. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Tell our callers, like I understand, I've been in business for years, but tell the callers what the difference is, because we know, you know, as far as because you can get so busy being in it that you never work on it and nothing's getting accomplished, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it takes a little bit of effort to set time aside so that you can work on the business. It doesn't take, you don't have to devote a lot of time to it, but it, you know, you take care of the big knocks first and then work down.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes it's critical. Once I got them moving in the right direction, they are more aware of it, and then they devote time to it. And
do you actually go through and have them do assessments or questionnaires, or you just basically ask questions they tell you?
Absolutely, it's a complete assessment. And you know, most businesses are involved in both cost as well as the expense categories. Most small businesses, because they're trades, you know, they do have costs, and they just don't understand how to build rates, how to maintain them, they don't know how to make money, really. You know, they make money by accident. and really, it doesn't matter. You know, I was trained by a guy who was just a phenomenal dude. You know, he worked on Boeing, I recall, where he made sure that the president of Boeing could actually know what's going on in the whole company. And he trained me personally.
That's fantastic.
And I spent time with him, you know, and I thought it was for my business to be in business, you know, and I built a big business as a result of it, but still, it wasn't the satisfaction that I'm getting today.
You know, and I think your skills and what you can do relate also to even, you know, we're doing about real estate and the economy and market, and it relates everywhere, right? Because they need to learn these skills with the business.
Well,
so do you have a website or a phone number? Because we can put that real quick, and we got to, because we're doing a couple of different callers here.
Yeah, the business is called Maximizers of Maui.
Maximizers of Maui, okay.
And my phone number is 808.
Mm-hmm.
250-8586.
808-250-8586, and it's maximizersofmaui.com?
Correct.
Okay, awesome.
Here's the thing you were asking about. I think everybody, I don't care, you know, if you do it, there's a gentleman called Marcus Buckingham, and he actually, together with is Don Clifton. Yeah, he just passed away about 2003. He's one of my mentors, you know.
Mm.
He developed something they call StrengthsFinder.com.
Uh-huh.
And for $20, it is the most incredible assessment.
Wow. I've ever
had. And you know, you learn about your spouse, you learn about yourself, you find out really, you know,
that's
what
wonderful.
You're built for. And that was the beginning for me, basically.
You know, our second half of our show, because we do real estate in the first half, and then we do spiritual and self-help. And I'm a firm believer that when you're really figuring out who you are and what you should be doing, what you're good at and what you're not good at, you really start to get into finding that extra happiness, because then you're really beating to your drum of what you should be doing.
Well,
you know that assessment's wonderful.
You know how the Bible says that the calling of God?
Yes.
About the gifts of God and the calling of God are without repentance. And I thought a lot on that. I mean, meaning he gives it to you and he just then lets you work with it. And this guy discovered, Don Clifton discovered that these are enduring traits and the talents that we have.
Absolutely. That is wonderful.
You know, my daughter has this thing called WOO, W-O-O. And these are, it's called winning others over.
Wow.
And these... I mean, these people have no, for them, there are no strangers, you know, just people they haven't met yet.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, they just touch everybody.
That is wonderful. No, I love this. And I want to go, I think we've got, Randy, there's a caller, I think, is there a caller on line six that wants to go in too? I'm looking at this.
We're going to take a break. We do have another guest coming on here in the second half of the show.
I was wonderful. That's why I wanted to give that again. It's maximizersofmaui.com, 808-250-8586. It was wonderful. I'm going to look up the strengthfinder.com, too.
It's strengthsfinder.com. Yeah, that's it.
Perfect.
That sounds cool. Natalie, I think
yes.
We've found a recurring guest on the show.
Okay,
guy,
and I think we have a caller. I'm not sure if they want to speak or they're just listening because there's another caller on the line. But, okay, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Zoran. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Thank you so much.
Realty Universal
Hello.
Radio, the name of the show, and, of course, on the website realtyuniversal.com. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, and Randy Zachary, I am at the Starbucks on South Kihei Road, in Maui, in South Maui, Kihei, Maui. And again, thanks to Zoran for hanging out, maximizing.
Thank you so much.
StrengthsFinder.com. If you're if you're searching, if you're trying to figure out what your gifts are, what your abilities are, and how to maximize literally your life, StrengthsFinder.com, the website. And that's the kind of guys that are just hanging out here. It's
it's so funny, though. He's totally about what we're about, and he's totally doing what we believe in. And then he brought into God, and he said about the StrengthsFinder, and, we're all about figuring out who you are, what your gifts are, right, and then bring it to the world and serve. That was really cool. I loved it. That was great.
He didn't go into a lot of detail on his story, his backstory, but he was a Hollywood producer. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff there to his story that we're going to probably have to get him back and have him share. But
awesome.
I do believe this week, John Del Grosso is a marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles. Hey, John, are you on the air?
I'm on the air. Can you hear me?
Hey, you're on there. Hey, John, how are you? Thank you for hanging on for a few minutes, too.
Not a problem. I was enjoying listening.
John Del Grosso,
Natalie. You're at Starbucks.
Yeah, just to introduce John, Natalie.
Yes.
John is a marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles, California. He's a friend of mine, and we have interacted over the years. John, the second half of our show, we typically like to talk about, of course, self-help, which obviously ultimately means, God help somehow. You've written a book. I would love for you to talk about your book and then talk about, again, how you help people find healing for their pain and whatnot. Would you do that?
I will do that. I'm on my car GPS sitting in front of my office because the receiver wasn't inside. So if it gets a little, let me know if I'm okay.
Okay. How's the temperature out there?
Pushing 90 right now.
Okay.
Not too bad. The book I wrote was Restoring God's Image, The Narrow Gate of Healing and Transformation. After being, my background was in as a pastor with the church, and then after that went into the mental health field. From inner healing, then into psychology background, and just saw that there was a real. I worked for Turning Point Counseling in the LA area. We work specifically with churches, and most of our clients are believers.
Wow!
And so, what I recognized was there's a real need for identifying healing from a scriptural basis. A lot of the there are a lot of people out there that do that, but they seem to, in my estimation, seem to fall short when it comes over the pulpit talking about specific things that have to take place and really not bringing the best in psychology together. And, most of them talk about psychology, but kind of fail when it comes to how does the Word of God and show us what to do. So this book lays out some specific steps according to Scripture, taking principles from Scripture, and it also encourages people to not seek secular therapists, not that they can't help you, but in the end, if there's not repentance, And if there's not a sense of God speaking into your life, a lot of that change that may happen won't be necessarily be of any effect for you.
That's wonderful. So it's called Restoring God's Image. Is it Turning Point Counseling? Is that a website? I mean, at Turning Point Counseling, do they have a website?
TurningPointCounseling.org, that has a website. And I have a website, johndelgrasso.com, which you can order.
Can you spell your last name, John? Because I just want to make sure the callers can hear.
It's johndelgrasso, John Del Grasso.
So.com?
.com.
Okay.
And they can see if I know there's some interviews I did with Randy before on there.
Okay.
There's some in there and the book. Anyway, so but one of the biggest things I found is a lack of, cut to the quick, unforgiveness is one of the biggest offenders of life. The Lord says if you don't forgive, neither can you be forgiven. I think unforgiveness and resentment really stops the work of God in our life. But not only that, it stops us growing. It stops us being able to accept truth into our lives. And it's something that's not really talked about. You're told a lot to forgive, but no one really says, how do I forgive? And there's only a few places in a few books that I've read where it talks about what is unforgiveness. And basically, the place I come from is unforgiveness is sin. And sin can only be confessed and repented of. It just can't be chosen. I can't choose to forgive somebody. I have to go to God and say, God, I've sinned by holding this resentment in my heart. And it's a key element to getting rid of the unforgiveness.
That's
once
amazing.
Once I get rid of the unforgiveness, because that's what God promises, if I confess my sin, he's faithful to forgive me and cleanse me of that unrighteousness, then I'm able to get truth into those lies that I believe in my life. And we all believe lies in our lives. We all grew up and been mistreated and picked up, some people call it lack of self-esteem, lack of self-worth, but there's probably about 100 lies we believe, like I'm not good enough, I'm stupid, no one cares about me, people are going to use me. But the book lays out 4 different things that we do that are sinful behavior that we do to protect ourselves, but these things end up becoming the very things that stop us from hearing truth, from healing, and from change.
That makes so much sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I can see where, secular counseling seems to be more where people are just talking, and getting it out, not really getting into the background and the scripture of what God's word is written right in the Bible to be able to dig in. And do you work with soul ties and everything too, like the past, people's relatives and past, and understanding that there's so many different things that come through that over the past with the Bible?
Yeah.
And
whenever anyone comes in and we're talking about soul ties are important. The scripture that I talk about is where Paul says, in Corinthians, I believe he talks about if you go into a prostitute, don't you recognize that the two shall become one? He speaks of that same relationship with a prostitute as he talks about in marriage, that the two become one. And so if my soul is, if I've tied to how many women I've tied to in my life, say if I've had sex, or I wasn't a believer before, I have to go and repent and confess of those specific things.
Wow.
The other thing, because unconfessed sin, there's still a consequence for sin. I was listening to a guy on the radio this morning, and he was talking about where Jesus says, depart from you, I knew you not. And it seems like in the book of James, one of the things that is said is that confess your sin one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. This is the prayer of the righteous man. So what I see in that is that confession is the prayer of the righteous man. And life, and if you look at the Hebrews, if you look at the Jews, even the present-day Jews, three times a day when they pray, three times a day they're praying for God to forgive them.
And
to
but
show
you know
them
what?
Their sin.
Exactly. That's amazing. That's amazing. You see a lot of people, I mean, you see people out there maybe that are say, oh, my gosh, you're calling it sin. I don't want to feel guilt. I'm not ready to change. I'm not ready to do what I need to do. Or maybe it's to them a little sin, and they feel like if they come to God and Jesus and they do these things, that they have to give up the fun things in life, not something that would be like prostitution or doing that. Maybe other things that maybe we wouldn't consider a sin, but to them it's going to be a little sin. I don't know how I'm saying it correctly, but so you get people that get afraid to get into the word when if they really just get into it and understand. It's almost like I think there should be another word for sin, even though it is sin and you need to repent. But I almost think it shouldn't be as harsh as this is a sin. You know what I mean? Like, but it is. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Huh?
No, that's great. That's great. But instead of listen, there are some people that just don't want to give up what they want to give up.
True, absolutely.
When it finally comes down to it, you've got to decide who's the ultimate authority. And
exactly.
That's either going to be ourselves or it's going to be God. But
exactly.
Take it a step first, because that doesn't. I believe most people, many people, because we're created in the image of God, we don't recognize what sin is about. And is sin just a is sin all about a rebellion against God? Well, I don't know if it's always that. What I talk about is that when we have these lies planted in our lives that come from, you know, early things that happened to us as children, we start to believe these lies. Like, for example, I believe, like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worth anything, or I'm not lovable because of the way I was treated by my parents.
Right.
Sin is just the way that we do to make us feel better about ourselves. And
right.
So, see, sin is easy. It's quick, feels good. So if I learn as a young boy to use pornography because it makes me feel good about myself, I'm not going to want to give that up later. So
right.
I don't talk about, it's not about the sin. It's like, hey, let's talk about what you use it for. Why
right.
are you afraid to give it up? Now, if I can understand, you know, I'm afraid to give it up because, you know, it makes me feel good about myself. Well, okay, then now it's not about you giving up something. It's about you getting something. Let's get in connection with God, because once you get in connection with him and you hear to hear him, you're going to feel good about yourself. He's going to tell you the truth about yourself, and you're not going to need that sin anymore. So
the stuff will fall by the wayside, yeah.
Fall by the wayside. And so once we understand those type of things in our lives, that it's easier to give up. It's not easy to stop, but again, the flesh is powerful, but the objection you raised is an easy one to come over, but you're always going to find somebody that at some point they're going to say, I don't know if I want to give this up. And that's okay. God is loving. He's merciful. When Adam and Eve sinned, they weren't killed. He's so merciful that what he said, they would die, he wasn't killed. That didn't happen for many years. And I believe that's the same thing with us, that, you know, our sin, God doesn't let the consequences for our sin destroy us. He doles it out over a period of time so it doesn't destroy us, and he gives us time to repent and come to him. He's a merciful, loving God. So why
yeah.
would we want to know a merciful, loving God?
Well, absolutely. I agree. And I think that if you're doing family therapy, right? Marriage therapy.
I do individual, children, marriage therapy. And so what just happens is, you know, it's a way to identify, you know, pain is a thing, because pain tells something's wrong. And a lot of us don't know what the questions to ask. So when I'm hurting, I should be asking, why am I caught in this? But specifically, what am I believing about myself that's causing me this pain?
You know, it's interesting, and many times it does go back to childhood, right? So somebody could be in a marriage thinking that their partner's doing something wrong and vice versa, and then when they really dig into it, they find out they're both doing things because they're bringing baggage from issues from when they were little that they haven't dealt with, right, and just released.
Oh, totally, yes, totally. And one of the things that, and that what you spoke just now was blame. Again, that was the first thing Adam and Eve did after they felt shame and they sinned, was they blamed each other. Blame is one of those things that we use to protect us, and so it keeps us from seeing the truth about ourselves.
So, wow, that's pretty strong.
Yes, it is. And when Jesus said, you've got to remove the speck from your own eye, the way you've got to do it is you always have to look at yourself first. You always have to see, where is this coming from first? So I have to look at where I feel they unlove, or I can blame my wife for not loving me. I have to look
right.
at me first, and that's a really important piece.
Wow. Yeah, just, you know, Randy and I've talked a lot about, because we talk about the, you know, our second half of the show is self-help and spiritual, and we love God, and talk a lot about, you know, there's so many adults that are wounded, walking around wounded, and don't even know they're wounded, but then when they get, you know, you get into it, then you can see where it's come from. I'm definitely a believer of going to counselors with ministry, you know, versus secular counseling. Because to me it just seems like night and day. You're not really, it's the truth. You're getting into real, real stuff that can change. And I think something else that I've heard before, and tell me what you think about it, is that we don't think about, like I've been pretty stubborn and independent in my life and go, hey, we come in the world alone, we leave alone. Now, I have faith in God, I love Jesus all of my heart. But then all of a sudden you realize, you know what, all the relatives, all the past, all those, you know, maybe even could be a couple hundred years back, who knows, that DNA and the things that have happened and it could be coming back through the Bible. I mean, it can be coming back and still having something to do with your life that you wouldn't even think, just from past history. And I've heard that, and I've heard that that's something that can be worked on also, you know, with the connections. Does that make sense to you?
Back in the, I guess it was the 60s, 70s, there was a book came out, and it was T.A., Transcendental, I forget what the A means
right.
now, but it
I've
was
heard
about,
that, yeah.
It started identifying analysis. It started finding out about, you know, the child, how the effects. Scripture always talked about that the prayer, the sin of the parents, it says passed down, you know, to the fourth generation. What does that mean? Does that mean that the sin actually passes down? No, that's a picture of that. The effect of our parents' sin affects us, how we
okay.
deal with things, how we believe. If my father, you know, if my father had believed certain things, he's going to act out in those things, and that's what's passed on to me, how I deal with things. Just like if my parents are godly people and they're following the tenets of Scripture, that's going to pass down to me and how I think and how I feel and how I believe. And that's really important. Now, some people believe that, you know, there's generational curses that come through.
And I've heard that.
You know, maybe there's some people believe that. Some people believe that, you know, there's demonic entities that are able to come in and oppress. I've seen some of that. I don't know if that's for everybody, if that's in everybody's life. But I think it comes to the basic comes down to that I still have to get rid of the belief systems that I have in my life. If I can get the truth of God into my life, you know, if I identify I have a belief that says I'm not good enough, and I walk people through to look at different events in their life where they see if they hold resentment and have unconfessed sin, we deal with that by simple repentance, and then we wait for God to speak the truth. When they hear God speaking the truth into their hearts, and that'll be different for everybody. Those curses and those things cannot stand anymore. Okay?
That's fantastic.
Because God's love breaks the curse.
That's fantastic.
So, we got to remember that God says He gives everybody a choice: blessings and cursing, life and death. So we can choose into those same curses, by choosing to do the same things our parents did, or we can choose to do differently, which then breaks those curses and brings blessing in our life.
That's wonderful.
Mm.
That's
so
exciting.
My book helps people to give them stories that they can then, by looking at them, look at themselves, leads them through things of saying, what do I believe? What are those beliefs in their lives? What kind of vows have I made that are keeping me stuck? You know, a vow such as I never want to be like my mom. Well, psychology has proven and scripture talks about that when I make that kind of vow, that's the very thing I head towards. I end up, you know, if I'm never going to get divorced, then I find out that's the very thing I head towards because I'm so, my brain is focused on that rather than focused on loving one another. It's focused on not getting a divorce. And that focus, which is a paradoxical type of thing, moves us towards that behavior and towards those beliefs.
That makes sense.
So the book helps you to look at all those things, talk to God, hear what he has to say, and then it encourages people to, you know, to get together in community and do this with one another and talk with one another and pray with one another and be open to one another.
Fellowship's very important, right?
Yes.
Yeah, fellowship's really important. What do you do? What advice do you give somebody if there's a lot of guilt, you know, when there shouldn't be guilt, just unnecessary guilt maybe from childhood where you just felt like you were always blamed for everything and you're not, but you carry that through? I don't know if that guilt feeling is something where people have to release it as a holding not a grudge, but not forgiving somebody, or maybe they're maybe beating up their own selves because they carry guilt for no reason. Well, it's not for no reason, but I mean, what do you think about that? Does that
well,
pretty
a lot
much stems through?
Sometimes, yeah, that's a difficult thing. First, we have to recognize is it real guilt or false guilt? Like you said, if they've done something wrong, there should be guilt. But if it's a false guilt, if, for example, I have a client that, wasn't able to really speak up growing up. And so then they made a decision in their life that they weren't going to listen to anybody. But now they find themselves doing that very thing, always kowtowing to people, wanting everybody to be happy. And they have a tremendous amount of, when they do that, they have a tremendous amount of guilt. So I think first they have to recognize if it's false or real. If it's real, we deal with it with confession. If it's false, we have to look at where is that coming from. And that's not easy to find out because there are different scenarios that they create that in a person. But underneath it, we have to find out, are there those vows that they've made, to protect themselves?
Right.
Is there I'm trying to pull up a specific instance in my head that I can explain it better. But, that false guilt usually comes from, again, something they believe inside of them. That
something they were told as a child,
in.
Too. Could be something they were
and
constantly
they were
told.
As a child, yeah. And then what creates that guilt, though, is that it usually comes from a double-bind situation where they're not willing to blame the person that really the responsibility has to be on. And there's something stopping them from blaming, whether it's a parent or holding that other person responsible. So it might be, for example, if I hold my husband responsible and I blame him, then he may leave me. So now, for me to get out of that feeling, I've got to put the responsibility. But now I'm putting another thing. If I do that, he's going to leave me. So that's a fear that I have to look at. So sometimes we have to discuss. What is it, what's stopping you from, what are you afraid of that's keeping you from doing what you need to do? And when that doesn't happen, there's a lot of guilt because the person keeps blaming themselves for the thing that's done. And usually there's somebody there willing to blame them for everything, whether it's a husband or a boyfriend or a parent.
Interesting.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Wonderful. I love it.
John Del Grosso.
I heard something recently, which I'm mulling around in my brain, and it might be interesting. What they're finding out now is that, there's some research out there, and I can't give you the specifics. I could send it to Randy. That you know, there's a lot out there about self-esteem, and that if we had self-esteem, we'd be okay. But they're finding that a lot of bullies have very high self-esteem, that people who are
a lot of bullies?
Yeah, people who are bullies, they used to think they had low self-esteem, but research is showing, no, they have high self-esteem. They
really?
Think a lot of themselves. People who are more, they're finding that people who tend to be more aggressive are not people with low self-esteem, but people with high self-esteem who, when you don't agree with them, then they get aggressive. So
right.
A sense of self-esteem outside of the constructs of Scripture, whether you have low self-esteem or high self-esteem, out of the constructs of being in relationship with God, it's Scripture, don't really make a difference. You know, it's how you choose to act should be based on self-discipline and self-control, and that's something that has to be taught by submitting yourself to what God says to do rather than wanting your own way. So
and reacting all the time.
Thing.
Yeah.
Whether you think good of yourself or not. Whether you think good of yourself or not, you're going to try to protect that when it's attacked or it's, you know, assaulted. Whether you have high self-esteem or low self-esteem, you're still going to react to defend yourself when somebody seems to agree with you or assault them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so high self-esteem and low self-esteem doesn't necessarily concur with whether you're walking in sinful behavior or not. One of the things, other things they're finding out is people who are in debt, usually they thought, well, that's low self-esteem. But what they're finding is, by doing some research, people who are in debt, women who are in debt, feel better about themselves. They have higher self-esteem. Why? But they're in debt. Well, yeah, but they're getting what they want. So it's what we use to make ourselves feel better, not necessarily, you know, what we believe. So
right.
If we use our relationship with God to make ourselves feel better, or we use things of the world to make ourselves feel better, that's going to determine things, too.
Wow.
Amazing.
Powerful. John Del Grosso, again, our guest, johndelgrosso.com is his website. John, the book one more time, the title of the book?
Restoring God's Image, The Narrow Gate of Healing and Transformation. You can get it on my website, johndelgrosso.com. It's also on Amazon. If you get it on johndelgrosso.com, I get a little more from it than if you get it on the amazon.com.
Sure.
Either way, you just want to get it. I'm willing to, you know, I come out and do seminars. If you want more books, I'll, you know, call me at 626-226-7326, and I'll work out a deal with you. I just want to get it in people's hands.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on today. You're wonderful. And I'm definitely going to get a copy of your book.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I so appreciate it.
Thanks,
fantastic.
Buddy.
And, we're looking forward to that. And, again, it's Restoring God's Image, and you can get that on johndelgrosso.com.
Absolutely. Thanks, John, again. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So we've got time flew. This we got about 5 minutes or so. Again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show, realtyuniversal.com, the website, Natalie Mullinex on the East Coast, Randy Zachary here in South Maui. Been an eventful morning. I have a feeling we've got a recurring guest in Zoran talking about business, and a lot of people have entrepreneurial, you know, urges and ideas and dreams, and that website he talked about, strengthfinder.com, where you can really start to figure out, and Natalie, I know you talk about this all the time, but find mm-hmm. out what your strengths are and then use them. Go do it.
Absolutely.
Go get that. Right?
Absolutely. It's wonderful. Well, it's a great show, Randy. I think we had a couple more people that wanted to talk too, right? But we're running out of time.
We have somebody else on the line?
No, I think we had somebody there, standing there, who was going to talk for a second, but we're running out of time. This was great, a great recap. That was wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, John Del Grosso has been helpful. I'm just going to come clean. He's a marriage and family therapist, and he's helped me work through some stuff. So, I talked to you about that idea of, of prayer therapy, where somebody just sits with you until you hear from God some truth, and and you're healed when that happens. And sometimes that's an hour, sometimes that's 2 hours. And he does phone sessions, and so you don't have to actually get in the office. But he's been very helpful with, you know, in my healing journey. And so highly recommend him at jimdelgrasso.com. And, again, thanks, Mindy, but thanks to her for her question on real estate as we kicked off
the
show.
Thanks, Mindy.
We're going to explore more being out and about, live and about, and figuring out how to do this where we can get more people involved in the show, because everybody
has
their...
I love it. It's so, you know, it's so much like everything we're doing. It just so ties in with all of it. You know, it's just funny about life, right, that it all ties in together.
Absolutely.
And, yeah,
absolutely.
There's a lot of people going through a lot of changes right now in the world, and everybody needs love and peace, as we're always harping on constantly. I think those are the two things we all need, and with God's help, you can have love and peace, you know. So, very,
yeah.
Very exciting. So,
That's by Plato, you know, be kind to everybody you meet, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle, and it's just so true. If you were to stop and talk to somebody... You know, we said this before in an earlier show, you know, when you ask somebody, how's it going, how you doing, often we don't really mean that, because if we did, we'd want to sit and really know. And I think we're all conditioned to go, hey, great, things are great. And things aren't great. You know, all of us are going through tough stuff.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I guess we're almost ready to sign off here. Please tell everybody I said thank you over there where you are at Starbucks right in Kihei. And, thanks, John, too. I think John signed off already. And we'll can't wait to talk to you next week. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.